The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
It's familiar, but not too familiar, but not too not familiar. It's a new craze. Hey, good girls, do you wanna just say, hey, I wanna? Just say, hey, I wanna.
Happy birthday to us. Happy birthday to us. Happy birthday, my brother and me. Happy birthday to us. It's the birthday episode. November 8th was the day, but we're recording on November 10th. But I guess it's all of our birthdays on November 8th.
Today we are all birthdays.
Got to do this every year. Every year since we've been doing the podcast, but like every year since I was fucking born. And I'm sorry. I don't know if you guys know how fucking baby gestation works, but that shit was out of my control.
Forgive me if I've mentioned this before, but Griffin, have you looked into legally changing your birthday?
You know, it's funny you bring that up because Jay-Z, I think, just did that. Jay-Z did a tweet and a toot last week where he's like, yeah, my birthday's on Tuesday, but guess what? I'm having my party on Monday, so now my birthday's on Monday. Nice. And I think if Jay-Z is allowed to do that, I don't understand why I can't.
Oh, my birthday cake's ready. Excuse me.
Well, Travis is making a birthday cake for himself, and he's just going to leave the podcast.
Nothing right. Sad about that. That's just a normal, regular
That's
thing.
That's just a normal thing
do.
That people do.
Just folks. Griffin, your birthday is April 17th.
Right, that's what I'm saying. It's not like November 8th rolled around. They're like, Griffin, time to come out. I was like, nah, I'm going to lamp in here for like six more months. I got a pretty good situation up in here. I just set up my broadband internet access, so I'm going to chill in the womb.
I want to come out registered with social services. I want to come out with some knuckle hair.
87 is going to be a way, way, way better year than 86, so I'm just going to chill in here. If you want to go ahead and get the paperwork going... And then I could just like slide out into that shit. That would be actually pretty dope for me.
No, it is not Griffin's birthday, but it is my birthday. I turned 33. It's Jesus year, everybody. This is the year I do miracles.
And it's my birthday. I turned 30, so this is the beginning of my teaching. I have 30 to 33.
Your teaching begins now. I got to get up on that old rug across.
Important question. Important question, Travis, and I think I posed this to you before, but is it dirty or flirty?
You know, it's going to have to be dirty 30, in which I forgo all hygiene.
Okay.
Trav, do you feel, I don't know if you've postulated on this at all, but that's not the right word. Meditated on this.
Ruminated.
Postulized.
Ruminated.
Postulized. Meticulated.
Do you feel weirdly younger at 30 than you did at 29?
I do, and here's why. What I have now gone from being the oldest 20-year-old in the group to being the youngest 30s-year-old in the group. You know what I mean? So it's like I've entered a new chamber, right? And now I'm at the beginning of a different line.
I guess externally that makes sense, but internally, like, all your sperm is dying.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's because of my hot pants.
I'm sorry, your what?
My hot pants. I wear heated pants.
He's not giving those up for 30.
No.
Are they prescription? Like what?
Well, I got cold bottom, and so I have
clinical
to wear
cold bottom.
Yeah, I have to wear electric pants.
Isn't that sort of like a mm-hmm. You're not going to build an immunity to heat if you just keep...
Griffin, I'm 30 at this point. Like, my body's not going to start producing its own butt heat at this point.
I guess you got a good point.
This is My Brother Me. It's an advice show for the modern era. Let's get into the advice. And how, did we introduce ourselves, by the way? I'm Justin McElroy. It's my birthday.
I'm Travis McElroy. It's my birthday.
Griffin McElroy. It's not my birthday. But I was, you know what? I was born on Good Friday. And I think that is probably why I just decided to delay it. Did you know that year, Good Friday, 1987, they actually call it Great Friday? It's like I was born. It's a little joke, like a little birthday joke I like to tell when it's not my birthday. Just keep my spirits up.
A couple of weeks ago, I found a note inside my locker at school. It said, and this is roughly translated from Norwegian, been thinking about you a lot lately. Phone number. Call me. Heart shape. Well, I thought someone put this in the wrong locker or something, so I ignored it. Oof. How's your worldview?
How's your self-esteem, dog?
Yeah.
Ooh. Pretty good, not huh? Good.
Today, on the 7th of November, I found another note in my locker which said almost exactly the same thing. My problem is that I'm quite paranoid over stuff like this. I do not know how to respond. Please help, brothers. That's from Paranoid in Norway.
I totally get it.
Absolutely right not to respond and be completely paranoid about the situation.
You're right.
Most spies are Norwegian. So, like, if it's a spy thing you're worried about, then 100% right.
I think you have one of two things to be paranoid about, and one more so than the other.
One
and
is that you have a young child vampirist mm-hmm. who is trying to court and befriend you and ultimately use you for all of your days for her sinister purposes.
And two is that it's some bullies and they're trying to entrap you into looking stupid.
But I'm assuming this is in Norway, though. And so I think the vampirist is probably a bit more likely. Mm-hmm. It's dark for a super long time over there.
Well, it's also possible that it's just like a really weird person.
Yeah, but that seems unfunny. What if I think it might be a griff? It smells like a griff to me. This has like...
You think like long con?
I'm thinking like full grift. It feels like the beginning of a griff. If they were like, I love it when you bring that briefcase full of money that you mm-hmm. always carry with you.
Yeah.
I hope you'll do that tomorrow.
Well, that's why it's a long con. You start really early and say, hey, seventh grader, I really like it when you leave a nickel every day underneath this rock, right? Because then you've got them for like 65 years.
It's a long con.
A lot of nickels.
Maybe this is the next evolution of the I'm a Nigerian prince and I need $10,000 to secure the $6 million and I'll totally send you like 5.5 of that. Maybe they are getting, they're decreasing their scope and scale a little bit. They're mm-hmm. they're scaling and scoping it down just a bit. And then they're going after our youths.
And they're also lowering their expectation of the reward. And it's like, instead of like $10,000, you know, blah, 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 they just say, I really like the new Kings of Leon CD.
And then they get a Kings of Leon CD?
They get a bunch of Kings of Leon CDs.
I don't think most people want one of those.
I think most people want a lot. They're a very talented band. I don't enjoy their new stuff as much as Youth and Young Manhood, but it's pretty okay.
I feel like if someone's not going to leave a name or any sort of identifying features to this, I feel
they're
like
trying to fuck you. They're trying to fuck you. And not in like...
With a capital F?
The sex way. Yeah.
Yeah, this is bad news. I just throw it away, ignore it.
Is it? Okay, wait. Let me throw this out, though. Counterpoint. What? Devil's advocate. Vampirist's advocate.
Yeah.
It sounds like question asker is a very shy, like, low self-esteem person. So what if the person who's leaving this note is just another shy, low self-esteem person?
I mean, I guess it's so unactionable. Like, it doesn't seem worth putting your cycles in it, unless you are willing. Ooh, what if you're willing to do a sting?
Ooh,
what if you're willing to
leave the police,
park your car outside
and then
your locker,
do a solo career
in a discreet not a Gordon Sumner,
okay.
A sting where you park your car outside your locker in like a discreet place. And like, keep the headlights off and stuff and just mm-hmm. have a bunch of, I think they usually have a bunch of fast food wrappers in there and binoculars and you just wait.
And then Martin Sheen falls from the roof of the building that you're parked outside next to and splatters all over the ground like in Departed. That is actually how 90% of sting operations end.
It's also important that there's another pair of people that come and relieve you after, like, I think it's like 10 or 12 hours, and you guys share some quips about how nothing happened, and then moments after they start their shift, something
goes down. Martin Sheen falls from the roof.
That's why he put Martin Sheen pushed. It's such a bad gig that Martin Sheen ended up with falling out of windows predominantly. I mean, mm-hmm. at least
How was your shift? Oh, it's just fucking raining Martins and Sheens out here. It is,
but not Martin Sheen. There's been lots of Martin Smiths and lots of Stephen Sheens.
That's why Emilio Estevez changed his name because he didn't want into the family.
I don't
business
want any of that
falling
shit
out of windows. I'm not gonna do it. I'm too busy.
Son, this whole racket's gonna be yours.
You know, and Charlie Sheen's gotten really good at falling from high places. What's up?
Oh, that was terrible, Travis. You know what? I'm actually going to switch my recommendation. Go ahead and give this number a call because you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. Even if those shots will get you killed in an alley. you guys from Yahoo?
Mm-hmm.
This Yahoo was sent in by Ben Noteboom. Thanks, Ben. It's by Yahoo Answers user Eric, who asks, how do I go about destroying a cursed item?
Mm-hmm.
My sister is an atheist, and she has a Wiccan friend. Her friend gave my sister a stone that she apparently hexed so that my sister would have better focus.
That's not a hex, that's a blessing. Go on.
Anyways, I want to destroy the stone because it was hexed using evil spirits, but I do not want to release anything into my life or my family's lives. How would I go about doing that?
This is just coming from such a place of ignorance.
Is it?
Because it's clearly not evil spirits, because it's a blessing. You know, you see it every day where people are like, I've been given a totem to protect me. And everyone's like, ooh, black magic. I'm like, no, that's pretty white magic. That's like as white as you get, you guys.
Right, but I mean, it's still, I mean, there's still a spirit occupying. There's a spirit that's just like, hey, Martha, listen, you've been on Facebook long enough. You need to do your homework. This Latin's not going to, like, worm its way into your brain without some effort. You got to work for it.
Well, so then you say, like, I'm afraid of destroying the item and releasing the nerdy spirit out into the world.
What if you, I mean, destroying it seems fine. I think if it was up to me, I would probably destroy it, but, like, make sure it was in a ring of salt. Mm-hmm. That seems to be a popular...
Right, but then what is you just have this fucking salt ring that you can't... You
do
can't,
it at a
like,
no, you do it at a friend's house.
Oh, okay. Right.
But then they have this salt prison, and as soon as, like, I don't know, if the cat gets in it, that cat's done.
I think you should ignore the curse part of it and instead start asking the question, how do I destroy a stone? Because I don't know the answer to that.
I think if you have any cursed item, stone or otherwise, I think you can just drop it off at the little exchange box that they have at Best Buy, you know, in the front where, like, you're supposed to put your printer cartridges and, like, cell phone batteries. Mm-hmm. I think they actually do have a slot for cursed
items. But don't put it in there if they're out of the little baggies.
Oh, yeah. That's just so common rude. Courtesy. I think the Geek Squad will be able to take care of that for you. And maybe they can install Windows on your Windows PC for, like, $800.
That does explain why the last time I was at Best Buy, I saw someone on the Geek Squad biting the head off a chicken and dumping its blood into a ring of stones.
To fix a virus on a Mac.
And then charging $800 to put Windows on your PC. To literally put a disk in a disk drive and then press the go button on Windows. There's a big button that says go for Windows, yes or no. And if you click no, it's like, are you sure? Because like you bought the Windows already and this is a Windows computer. We can just do this for you because it's like a CD. $800 service. Thanks, Geek Squad. Couldn't have done it without you. Don't know what I'd do without you in my life.
Which one of you is a secret agent? You have to tell me, legally. Which one of you has the intersect in your head? You have to tell me.
You have legally. To tell me by law, or else it's entrapment. why can't your sisters pound on some ginkgo?
Yeah, that could work.
I don't think ginkgo biloba's got, like, evil spirits in it, natively.
The damage is done. They have the cursed item now.
Am I crazy to say that, like, if his sister's an atheist, doesn't that mean she doesn't believe in, like, curses and blessings and hexes and spirits and shit?
Yeah.
I mean, like, by definition, but you don't as need an
to,
atheist.
You don't have to believe in ghosts to have sex with one. You know what I mean?
I mean, that's true.
You don't have to believe in a ghost in order to have it be having sex with you.
I don't believe in guns, but I still don't want one in my house.
You don't agree with guns. You believe that guns exist.
Okay, you're getting into semantics here.
You may not believe in guns, but you can still definitely be shot to death by one, is what I'm saying. Exactly.
That's what I'm saying.
I think we're all on the same page. I don't know why we're arguing.
Yeah, you're right, Griffin. This is silly. Let's move on to another question. I've recently been meeting a lot of new people. And you guys ever forget you have a coffee? And then it just like, oh, I feel tired. And then you remember that you made a coffee before the show.
Yes. Exciting. What's even worse is when you've just like gotten in your car and driven like two blocks away from your house and going, shit, I poured a cup of coffee.
I made that coffee.
I hate it when you forget that you're in the middle of reading a question on a widely syndicated comedy podcast mm-hmm. and instead, like, just talk about something else.
You ever notice?
By the way, I'm 33, Griffin. I this is the beginning. From here, it's all downhill. It's all like, you know what I like? Vanilla Tootsie Rolls. Like, that's where we're that's the phase of this show we're going into.
I watched CBS Sunday Morning this morning, which I really shouldn't do because more often than not, it makes me angry. They had an opinion section that was delivered by contributing editor Paula Poundstone, and it made me want to eat a sword. It made me want to stab a sword down through my stomach.
Is Paula Poundstone the new Andy Rooney? Is that the thing?
I think that she experienced the quickening upon his death and got on there like, I think Obamacare is going to work because once YouTube didn't work and I got it to work, Poundstone out! It was like, That was 3 minutes of my life, Paula Poundstone. I'm never getting that back. I do love your bow tie, though.
Into that. Anyway, I've been recently meeting a lot of new people, and in an attempt to make conversation, they've been asking me, what's your story? I have a hard time talking about myself sometimes. So how am I supposed to respond to that question? Do they really want a summary of my life up until this point? What do I say when someone asks me that? That's from Flustered in Philly.
What's your story? The Hobbit. What's yours?
That seems weirdly. Doesn't that seem weirdly antagonistic?
It's. Yeah. Like, it's so,
it does. It seems like something like a hard boiled cop asks someone in a movie, like, "What's your story?
What's your story, Toots? Start singing, Canary.
Come clean, Maroney."
Do you think that question is giving rise in this generation? Because traditionally, what you would ask is, "What do you do for a living?" Mm-hmm. And that question has become this thorny bramble bush to navigate with today's youths, because most youths, and by youths I mean people my age, we don't know what the fuck we're doing. You know what I mean?
None of us know.
I feel like what's your story like falls somewhere between the weird question of like either what's your deal, which I feel is super antagonistic, and you are, which is like really aloof and elitist. So like, what's your story is kind of right between those two, and it makes you seem both kind of a dick and kind of a douche at the same time.
But more importantly, Dick Douche, you can, it's...
Hi, Dick Douche. What's your story?
More importantly, though, if someone asks you, and by you I mean the youths of my generation, what are we now, like Delta? Mm-hmm. They ask a Delta, like, what's your story? And you can say, I've been thinking about getting into, like, artisanal beekeeping. You can't use that answer when somebody asks you what you do for a living, because you don't do it yet. You know what I mean?
I hate the what do you do for a living question, because here's what I do. I write about video games on the internet, and I do a comedy podcast. I do two comedy podcasts. There is a very high probability that I am going to have to explain as part of my job description some core concepts to the person I'm talking to, specifically their ages above 50.
Or even more insulting, you have to find a way to intimate that, yes, you earn a living wage doing this thing. It's not some joke job. You know what I mean?
Cindy's grandfather until we launched Polygon in the beginning of 2012, still asked me when I was going to get a job. I mean, I fully was employed at several different locales at that point and still was curious when I was going to get into the working world.
But don't you think that is like becoming, especially for people our age and younger, becoming like more of the norm and less of the exception?
Yeah,
and like,
that's
what do you do? Like, oh, I work for an independent brewery.
So many, first of all, that's an awesome job, a venerable craft. Our whole world of Generation Delta would be fixed in a second if everyone would get on that micro tip where he's like, everybody needs to go learn some fucking skills. And I listen to him. I hear him on the Bill O'Reilly talk show radio program. And he's like, everybody needs to go out there and learn how to plumb. Because if you knew how to plumb, you'd be fucking set for life. And if we did
the motherfucker went before Congress and said
Congress, like,
and he's like, you motherfuckers, learn to plumb.
Learn to plumb, you dumb shits. Name any problem in politics, American politics right now, that wouldn't be fixed if everybody knew a trade craft that they could profit off of. Like, everybody needs health insurance. Like, if you knew how to plumb, you'd be fucking making bank. And you could just like pay for whatever elective procedures you want or need. And people ask you, what's your deal? A plumber. Booyah! You know what I mean? Like, it would be so easy.
I have an actual real-world skill. I can do a thing.
Oh, what's your deal?
I do one thing.
Hey, man.
That's the best thing about my stupid job is that I get to say I'm a carpenter.
I'm a carpenter.
And if I don't feel like saying theatrical carpenter.
Hey, I'm in a hurry. Summarize yourself in a phrase if you can. Oh, me? I'm an electrician. Get out of here. I'm done. I'm done already with you. I'm going to bookmark you in my head. Chad, electrician. Oh, that's Chad the electrician. I need some work done, and I have lots of money, and I need electric work done. I'm going to continue supporting him.
Now, here's the thing. The other side of that, though, is that when they go, okay, Travis, carpenter, then later, when they're like, I have this table that needs fixed, oh, Travis is a carpenter. The nice thing about telling someone that you're a small batch barrel maker, mm-hmm. no one's ever going to call you to come fix their barrels.
Yeah, I guess if you don't want money, what are you talking about?
No, but I don't like freelance carpent.
I don't think carpent is the...
I'm a carpenter.
I think it's
I'm really more of an edutainer. That's what I'm going to start telling people. Me, I'm an edutainment. I like to cross the bridge between education and entertainment as an edutainer. That's what I do.
I feel like Jindel is entire... Everybody I know...
Hi, Jindel. What's your story?
Everyone, every Dick Deuce Jindel is somehow in the business of online publishing. Everybody in our fucking world, except for the guy who comes and fixes my pipes when they break, is in the business of online publishing. And at a party, when someone says, what aspect of online publishing are you involved in? You can't be like, oh, I'm a lead of creative consulting marketing.
So do you think when they're asking, what's your story, they're literally asking, what story did you online publish?
Yes. Oh, I did 10 best pictures of cats in mason jars. Oh, I remember that. Great work. Hey, this guy did the cats in mason jars post. That was great.
Oh, I love that. Mason jar
cat guy. You remember him?
I think
he's got the really small, really, really sick cat that's like super famous. Is he around?
Not No Bones. No Bone Cat.
Oh, I remember No Bones. He's great.
I feel like the less you can tell someone, the better. Like, I think you should try to keep it close.
What's your story?
Say, classified. No, I mean, give them something. Say, I grew up in the hills. Now I'm in the city just trying to make my way.
I dabble.
I grew up in the marshes, and then I lived in the mountains for a while, and then the swamps. And I'm just
spent a little time in the Glen.
I'm just naming Magic the Gathering energy card types now.
That's what I do for a living.
I collect magic cards for a living. There probably is somebody making a living doing that, and they have to explain that shit at parties. Dude, give it up. Give it up and learn how to like clean gutters or something.
This is what I'm saying. I think we need an encyclopedia of non-offensive job titles that are all like euphemism for what you do. It's like, what do you do? I've got a huge assortment of magic cards that I sell for a living. What do you do? I'm a trades collector. You know, something that like doesn't make any sense, but when you say it, everybody goes, oh, okay. And it's like, what do you do? Oh, I make tiny models of World of Warcraft battlegrounds. What do you do? I'm a carpenter. Right? And then somebody, if they care to, can go look in the encyclopedia, flip to carpenter, and go, well, they make models of World of Warcraft models.
I don't think it says that in the encyclopedia, though. That was a crazy thing you just said.
That is maybe the most nonsensical thing you've ever said on this entire
program. Well, it'll be a very Orwellian lifestyle in which everybody is just assigned a bullshit term for the real-ass job.
You're saying that we should boil our jobs down to the actual base mechanic. Like, I should tell people I'm a typist mm-hmm. and talker.
At a party, though, and somebody says, what do you do? And you say, online publishing. Their response is going to be, don't be an asshole. Like, we're all in online publishing.
Of course you are. Of course you're in online publishing. Who isn't?
Asshole. I think that we have developed this reverse aristocracy where look around your office right now and then try, like, look at anything and try and imagine with your brain how that thing got made. You can't, you fucking idiot. You can't. Someone else made it and they're laughing at you. They're laughing at you because they don't know how to do shit. And they can introduce themselves really easily at parties. I make lamps. I'm a lampman.
My entire understanding of the built world is drawn from 99% Invisible. So what mm-hmm. that means is that when I see an everyday object, I still have no idea how it was made, but I assume the person that created it was a beautiful soul that could teach me about something about life. Because that seems to be the way of things.
We have ugly, stupid live journal souls.
And can I just throw this out? We do not appreciate those beautiful souls enough, financially, I mean. Monetarily, not enough appreciation.
They're doing fine, though. That's what Mike Rowe's saying. People can't make a living because there's 3 paid online publishing jobs, and there's approximately 5.5 billion people scrambling for them right now. But you know what's up? My toilet's been clogged for like 2 years because nobody knows how to fucking deal with it anymore.
Your toilet's been clogged for 2 years?
That's what I'm saying. It's rough and tumble down here in Austin. Austin is the Austin is the home of online publishing. Everybody in Austin, we don't have a government because people don't know how to govern. They know how to write blogs about government. Got a lot of HuffPo free contributors down here. But we don't have anybody with any public speaking skills. It's a fucking mess. We don't have cops. We don't have cops that can enforce the laws that nobody's writing.
You just have people that post like top 10, 15 worst crimes.
Right. They'll go to Boston and like a cop will beat the shit out of them and they'll record it and they'll put it up. Like, isn't this terrible? Yeah, it's terrible. I wish we had any cops in Austin. My house has been, my house hasn't been burgled because nobody learned like how to pick a fucking lock. Because nobody fucking knows how tumblers work. They know how Tumblr works.
Tumblr works, but they don't know how Tumblr
works. It's a fucking joke. I'm quitting the podcast. I'm quitting online publishing. And I'm going to learn. I'm going to go like fucking tan leather or something like that. I'm going to fucking figure it out.
Can I just say how much I would watch that? Not like as a show, but just day to day. I would just sit and watch you try to learn to tan leather.
You're part of the fucking problem, Travis. Because if I start tanning leather and then like someone starts doing a blog about it, you're going to read the blog and you're not going to buy my leather goods. And then
Griffin,
I'm going to die.
I can build a goddamn chair from scratch.
I'll race you. I'll make a chair entirely out of leather and you make a chair entirely out of wood. And we'll see
you
which one sells
on leather chair.
We'll see which one sells on Etsy first.
And then I'll write a blog about it.
And then I'll it'll write a like, blog about it.
It'd be like Julie and Julia.
Was that movie called Julia, Julia?
Julie and Julia, I believe.
I think it was called Julie versus Julia. Battle Royale.
Another question, you think?
Yes. I need to stop getting so worked up during this podcast.
I got a lot of loss prevention professionals emailing us this week.
I know. Listen, I'm not saying... I should clear this up. I wasn't saying that everyone should shoplift all the time. I was only saying I don't understand why everyone doesn't shoplift all the time.
That's a skill.
It is a victimless, crimeless crime.
Specifically, if you don't get caught.
If you don't get caught, or even if you do, they can't do anything. Someone was saying that there's a, what is it, shopkeeper's privilege, which says that you are allowed to detain somebody who you think has shoplifted. And I say, good luck, sirs.
No, here's the thing. Somebody sent us an email, though, that was great, because it also reflected something that happened to me when I worked at Best Buy, and this dude worked at Best Buy. And he said that they caught this kid shoplifting and told him to wait for the cops. And he did. And he sat there for 30 minutes till the cops came. And they were like, yeah, the CD's in his bag. Cops break open his bag. And inside his bag is a bag of cocaine, a bag of marijuana, a loaded gun.
Oh, my God.
And the CDs. And the kid just fucking sat there and waited for half an hour.
The kid's like, listen, if you're going to arrest me for the shoplifting, you can't arrest me for the drugs. That's double jeopardy. I know my rights.
I watched 15 minutes of Double Jeopardy on Stars. I think I know the law.
I know my rights.
That was from James. Thank you, James.
Thanks,
that story
James.
Was from James. That happened to me once, where a kid came in and used a stolen credit card, and then he tried to return those items for money, and that's when we got him, because the cops came after he used the credit card. And so...
Wait, that's a crime?
Yeah, so he came in, bought the things. The cops came in and were like, hey, did somebody use a credit card to buy such and such and such? I was like, oh, yeah, he did, because he showed them to me on his way out. And then the kid walked back in like 5 minutes later. Was like, you know, I don't need these. Can I return them for cash? And the cops and I are just like standing there looking at him. So the cops just grab him. And then they're like, can we check your car? And the kid's like, oh, yeah, sure. And his car's just full of stolen stuff.
I don't want to have to steal things. And as such, I need some money. We'll be right back. friend Warby Parker is revolutionizing the world of eye care. It's true. Don't laugh.
I'm starting to think that Warby Parker is like Hulu Plus, in that like everybody already has it. So it's like because I see everybody on Facebook like just got my Warby Parkers in, and I know those people don't listen to our show. I'm saying they're already worldwide, and I don't know. I think we're kind of a drop in the bucket here, but let's do our best.
Glasses shouldn't cost as much as an iPhone, guys. I've been saying this forever. At Warby Parker, from Warby Parker, our friend, he'll sell you prescription glasses starting at $95. That's including the lenses. They got anti-reflective coating and an anti-glare coating. No cost to you. Don't even worry about it.
That way, if people glare at you, you can't see it.
You can't see it, and you can't glare back. Buying glasses online is easy and risk-free. Warby Parker, here's the best part. They got a try-on program. What they do is you pick five pairs. They ship them to you. You try them all on at the same time.
You always say that, and it makes it sound like you're like inventing some sort of Dr. Seuss like mega spectacles with 10 lenses.
You pull them all at the same time, then you can see through walls. What's up? Money well spent. No, and then you send back the one that you don't want and keep the one that works for you, and you get to keep them for 5 days so you can show everybody. Have a big party. Have the worst party ever and make people look at your
glasses. Shortest party ever. This one, or this one. This one, cool. Bye, guys. Thanks for coming.
For every pair of glasses they distribute some to some people in need. So that's $95 prescription polarized sunglasses from $150. And so here's the deal. You visit warbyparker.com/mybrother. Choose your five home try-on frames. When you're ready, you enter the promo code MYBROTHER at your final checkout. You order your prescription glasses, sunglasses, or reading glasses at warbyparker.com/mybrother.
And when you use the promo code, it usually takes about 10 business days to get to you. With the promo code, you're going to get them in 3 business days.
No big deal. It's just great. I'm hungry. I'm so hungry. I've never been this hungry before.
Man, it really took a turn.
Justin, do you want some salty, crusty... Sugar flops?
Shove that junk in your urethra. I'm not interested in it. Ho-hos, no-nos. Twinkies, forget about it.
Do you want a big bowl of Junkums?
Junkums? Keepums. Mm-hmm. That's what I say.
No, these are baked Junkums.
Nah, that's junk. What I need is...
With Olestra.
Nature Box. I'm excited to have Nature Box as a sponsor because I was actually into the Nature Box game before... They sponsored us, and I was so excited to have them. Here's what you do. Let me give you the pitch. You go to naturebox.com, and you fill a box up with healthy snacks. This is, like, really good stuff. They got French toast granola, salted caramel pretzel pops.
Those shits are out of control.
I just had, like, this mango puffed rice kind of bites. Oh, my God, they're insane.
Delicious. And you can get them... all in one box. You get a new shipment every month. If you want to choose your stuff, cool. If not, they'll choose it for you. And the shipping is free. Fantastic. And what's better is for being a listener of ours, okay, you're going to be able to get your first box half off. Oh, half off? Are you kidding me?
Does that mean they only include half the food that you ordered?
No, it just means
the box is cut in half and stuff falls out one end.
Yeah, that sounds shitty. Why would we give this shitty promo to people?
This is a money thing. So you go to naturebox.com and use the coupon. Use the promo code MYBROTHER. That's promo code MYBROTHER at naturebox.com. You're going to get that first box half off. It's really delicious stuff.
And they have a huge selection. It's like, you know, they got salty stuff. They got sweet stuff. There's stuff that like individually wrapped bars. And all of it comes in like resealable packages. Mm-hmm. So like you can take it with you. And like,
are you into umami flavors? They have that.
I got a message for Stephen Yee. Watch your fucking back.
Love Nature Box.
No, Travis, what's my message?
You're going to open one of those Nature Boxes and it's going to be full of anthrax bombs and vampire bats.
This message is for Stephen Yee. It's from the Archery Guild of Calamitous Intent. What better gift can we get the man who has everything than a personal message from your three favorite brothers? A crossbow? Perhaps. A falcon? Possibly. But we figured this would be a fitting gift after your impromptu live reading of the Sexy Garfield fan fiction at Mel and Rob's birthday dinner last year. Happy birthday, Steve. May your day be full of bacon. Sounds to me like Steve ruined Robin Mel's birthday, and this is the punishment instead of a crossbow.
I do not remember signing off on letting someone else read our shit out loud. I do not remember licensing out that materials.
You read it at Mel Brooks and Rob Dyrdek's birthday. So their combined party.
Steve-O, happy birthday and watch your fucking back. Griffin, we got another message?
Yeah, this one is for Bryn Boatman. It's from Evan Smale, who says, "To my best friend, you done it. Happy 20th haunted birthday. Try not to get too spooked on your big day. Now, something tells me this one was supposed to be Halloween themed, and that we and that we have slipped up just a little bit.
Let me try to alter it a little bit. To my best friend, you done it. Happy 20th pilgrim birthday. Try not to get too turkeyed on your big day. Maze, cornucopia.
Happy 20th birthday. Try not to get too born on your big day, because then it's celebrating our birthdays.
I like that.
I'm Jesse Thorne. Bullseye is all about discovering the good stuff in culture that will do nothing less than change your life.
You know, I'd never heard anything like it before. It'd be like seeing a new color, which I guess is music's like biggest asset, is that you can hear new sounds. I'll probably never see a new color. I'll probably never experience like a new crazy taste, but I'll hear new sounds constantly.
Culture picks, comedy, and in-depth interviews. It's the good stuff and just the good stuff in popular culture every week on Bullseye. Subscribe in iTunes or find it online at MaximumFun.org.
Farm wisdom. Farm wisdom. Get a dubstep in your two-step farm wisdom.
Get right out of town.
I'd say that's one of the better ones you've done recently, but recently your games have been super shitty on the farm wisdom introduction.
Give me some farm wisdom.
Can I read this one?
Yes. Please.
Male pigs that are going to be raised to be hogs, a pig over 120 pounds, didn't know that, so already learning shit from farm wisdom. Male pigs that are going to be raised to be hogs, a pig over 120 pounds, and eaten for meat, must be castrated. If they aren't, the testosterone makes the meat taste disgusting. It's called boar taint. If you've ever eaten a wild hog that tastes really gamey and shitty, it's been tainted.
That's the craziest farm wisdom. That changes my whole perspective on pigs.
It makes me feel bad for eating them, I guess, kind of a bit. Not very much, because like they're still goddamn delicious, but like to think that they have to live in terrible conditions and get their dicks cut off.
It's not a good life they lead.
Not a good life, not an especially...
It's not their dicks, it's just their balls.
I mean,
they don't cut off their dick and balls.
I guess that's a good point. I didn't think about that. Woof. Maybe we should cut that one out, because it really is bringing me down. you guys want a Yahoo?
Absolutely.
Oh, God. This one's going to be really tough to get through, because it's sort of like, could God make an object that he couldn't move sort of thing? Mm-hmm. Like one of those quandaries that wraps in around it on itself, like an M.C. Escher painting. Sent in by Spencer Lee Curtis. Thanks, Spencer. It's by Yahoo Answers user Melissa, who asks... My horse hates other horses. My horse is gentle and sweet, but his personality changes toward other horses. I feel absolutely awful when my horse tries to bite and scowl at horses walking by. He's kicked two horses at the barn I board at, and people are starting to refer to him as the crazy one. I don't feel like there's much I can do to make him stop other than negative reinforcement when it happens. He's generally polite, but turns into an ugly monster when faced with other horse. Any ideas? Thank you for reading. You're welcome.
Is it possible that your horse is actually a bear and you're an idiot?
Oh, good question.
Is it possible this horse is a bear and you're an idiot?
Better question. Is it possible that your horse thinks it's a bear, does not realize it's a horse?
Here's the only thing, though. I do not think kicking is a bear's game. You know what I mean?
Oh, no. It's important to note the horse thinks it's a bear, but it's never been around other bears, or it knows nothing about bears.
Then why would it...
It just does what it thinks bears would do in a given situation.
It just heard the word bear once, and it's like, that sounds like something I could get into.
The owner kept riding it barebacked, and it was like, oh.
I get it.
So I've got a bareback. I'm a bear.
This is a horse that has chosen to live its life whenever possible as a bear. It's a fuzzy. Mm-hmm. And I think we should respect it.
Hold on. You're saying You just dropped a lot of concepts on me.
And baby, I need you to walk backwards. That horse backwards. Is born that way.
I need you to walk
that
backwards.
That horse is
through.
Born that way, and I respect it.
You're saying that the you're saying that within the animal kingdom. Okay. Mm-hmm. You're saying that within the animal kingdom.
Take it as slow as you need to. I'll walk you through it.
This is a, let's start just with the basic facts, I guess. This is a horse we're talking about.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm.
The horse sees other genuses of animals in the animal kingdom.
And then goes up to one of those genuses and makes a wish and says, make me a bear.
I wish I was a bear. Because it just seems like a pretty cool lifestyle. Like we've covered, being into the furry community is not all about sex.
Right.
So you're saying this horse
wants to... wants to be a bear. So it acts like it thinks a bear would. It's important to know it's never come in contact with a bear. So this is all conjecture.
Yeah.
On this horse.
Does it wear a surprisingly expensive bear suit? Like a tanuki suit?
Yeah,
no, it doesn't have money, Griffin. Don't be stupid.
Don't be an idiot. Horses can't get checks. What are you, silly? They can't.
That's an important part. Can I say that I'm a furry and then like show up to a furry con wearing like a t-shirt and jeans?
Yes. Furries are not about your bank account. That's like
if you were a king, you're still a king even if you're not wearing your crown and your cape. It's not about the accessories. It's about what you have inside.
Thank you, Travis. Yes, exactly like Travis said.
Okay, so can it... if this horse wanted to be a dolphin, would he be a...
That would be a squeaky.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Is there one for every different animal, or are we just talking about the texture?
There's only
of
one
their
way to find out. Just keep asking.
If it wanted to be a scorpion.
That's a stingy.
Stingy.
If it wanted to... No, this is bullshit, because if I wanted to be a horse, then I think I would still be classified as a furry.
No, you would be everyone.
Beautiful sons of bitches.
I think
maybe that's it. Maybe the horse just realized that it will never be classified as the majestic one or the pretty one or the graceful one.
You're saying he's found his niche. And his
niche
is
like, he's looking around and going, look at all of us.
He's being
we are all the majestic ones. We are all the pretty ones. I'm going to be the fucking crazy one.
But that's the thing. If I've learned anything from any horse-based entertainment medium, it is that that is the horse that you want to tame, and then it turns out to be the fucking dopest, fastest, best racinest.
Well, I think the difference is usually you look for like the stubborn one, the difficult way. You don't look for like the balls crazy one.
you don't look for the one that's going to try to eat your toes when you're not looking. That's not what Black Beauty was about.
Now, Black Beauty, I know that you just ate my baby, but god damn it, I'm going to ride you.
I'm going to break that animal spirit.
This is an unpopular opinion, but horses can look kind of crazy. When they open their lips up and show you those huge chompers and their eyes open wide, that is a scary, scary sight.
And I saw in the Pecos Bill cartoon, they do this thing like when they jump up in the air.
You just said four words that didn't sound like words. What were they?
The Pecos Bill cartoon.
Okay.
The horse jumps in the air and like all four of its feet leave the ground at the same time, and it kind of like curves its back, and it looks like a fucking crazy ass like horse show.
That's a cartoon, Travi.
No, but they do it in real life too.
What if the horse, that weird horse face Griff was describing, what if that's their natural state? Like, and they just gussy it up for when humans are around.
The rest of the time they're working really hard to keep it together.
I can't let my lips do that weird thing.
It makes me look like the horse embodiment of a Robin Williams impersonation. That is what they look like, though. We're joking about this because we don't want to answer the fucking like hard question. We love horses so goddamn much. I think about them all day, especially in the shower.
I got to ride one on my honeymoon and it was fucking glorious.
That's what
Did
I'm
it
saying.
Know Travis, you? Was it familiar with you from your work?
It was. It was like, oh, you're the horse advocate, Travis McElroy. We've read so much about in our horse trades.
I'll make sure not to destroy your balls and dick with my crazy spine. I've only ridden a horse once, and it destroyed both my balls and my dick with its crazy, crazy spine. It was like riding that one Spinosaur. I think that was a dinosaur with the like crazy spine fin. Terrible, terrible for my situation. What were we talking about?
I've told you once, I told you a thousand times, that was a motorcycle. And you could say it was a dinosaur as many times as you want.
This horse is actively hurting other beautiful, perfect horses. What do we do about that?
Can you just sequester it?
What do you mean?
I mean, just like make it never see other horses again.
A life without looking at horses? You might as well send it to hell.
Oh, let me throw this out. Equus, blind it.
That's a terrible... You understand?
Well, no, then it can totally be around other horses, but don't worry.
Oh, it would smell. Never see them. Oh, I smell a fucking...
Okay, cut its nose off. Blind it, cut its nose off, pull its teeth out.
Oh, God.
What are you talking about?
What? But then it still can ride it majestically.
You think any horse is going to look anything but disheveled and resentful after that, this procedure that you're...
Sweet mask. Sweet mask.
It's going to hear the horses. Got to cut those ears right off there.
Cut the ears off.
It's still going to want to kick things, so those hooves got to go.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, Torsi. Torsi, the torso horse. Touch him, and your wishes come true. I don't want to... Daddy, I don't want to touch him. Don't make me touch him. Come on.
Touch a goddamn
Packers
horse.
Got a hard game coming up. I need a win. Touch him. Touch Torsi. Your mom's not going to come back unless you touch Torsi for daddy. Come on. Go ahead, child. Go ahead. How are you speaking to me? Your mouth is gone. I'm speaking to you through the Equestriverse. Touch me, child. It's the only way your mother's coming back to daddy.
No, I think Travis should be forced to leave its ears on, because I want it to hear the things that people say about it.
And that's to the pain.
I want him, when the children walk by and whisper, "Dear God, what is that thing?
What is that?"
I want that to be forever in its perfect ears.
Poor Torsi. It could probably still survive, right?
If you want to send us fan art of Torsi, just draw a bean. Draw a hairy bean. That'll
it
look
still has
like
most of its head.
It's still going to need a brain up in there.
Draw a bean with a brain dangling off of it.
Don't get me wrong. Horses' hearts are the biggest, most perfect, and wonderful hearts, capable of more love than every human in the world combined, but still need some think meat in there to process.
Can we store the brain inside Torsi's torso behind glass like Krang?
Yes. Man, wouldn't that be great if they made Seabiscuit too with Torsi and he still somehow, I guess he just like rolled really fast and he won the big race.
Just got to give him something to chase. But he can't smell,
see,
or hear.
He can't smell,
see,
hear, move, live.
Just bang a gong in front of him and hope that the vibrations steer him the right way.
He would make a great bobsled though. That's for goddamn sure.
My office had a Halloween party, which resulted in a large bucket of candy being left over and set out in a common area. The next morning, all of the candy except for the Milky Ways were gone. A coworker claims to be the sole witness, but doesn't want it to get out because that would create workplace tension between adults over candy. Should I press my coworker to snitch? This was probably $20 to $30 in good candy, and this is not the first time it happened. That's from Snitch Witch.
Oh, man. How many times has that happened?
The perfect crime.
I know.
Let me just throw this out. Who takes all the candy except Milky Ways?
I know. Milky Ways is basically the best candy bar. So whoever... I mean, I guess leaving that behind is such a huge clue. Because it's like, who in the office doesn't like Milky Ways? Robert, God damn it. I knew it was you, Robbie. You fucked us for the last time, Robbie.
Is that $20 to $30 pre-Halloween or post-Halloween? Because that goes way down. That's like down to like $10, $15 at Walgreens.
Are you providing us with the price of the candy because you're thinking that they're going to fence it? Because if that's the case, why wouldn't they just take the Milky Ways to increase their...
No, there needs to be some reparations made.
They need to provide everybody in the office with a buck 50 worth of...
Yeah, so they employ 60 people, so they need to pay, I don't know, 30 to 50 cents per person.
How much do you have to fucking... love Butterfingers and Snickers and Twix that it is worth $20 to you, the possibility that Justin, one of your coworkers will have a visual of you like with a duffel bag just raking candy into it, except for oops, no, a Milky Way got in there, I gotta filter that back out. I would actually pay $20 to see an adult person doing that. I think it would be worth it.
I think what you're missing out on is that it's the principle of the thing and not the monetary value. Because if it were me, if it were my workplace, A, I would be the one who had stolen the candy. But B, The problem is at that point, it's like, that was all of our candy, and Steve yummied it down.
Yeah, but you're 30. You're 30 now, Travis, and I have a hard truth for you to accept, and that's that you can't eat candy anymore. Justin will tell you all about it. Once you hit 30, you can't eat candy anymore.
That shit, it gums up the works?
It gums up the works so bad. You can
I know you can't do Starburst, but I figure like a York peppermint patty isn't going
to
mess it up.
I'm 33 now, and I am to a point where, and this has just started to happen, but like I start to feel weird about eating candy.
Yeah.
It seems like, I don't know, like I've got some candy here, and seems like it's for kids now, I guess.
Good news is, Travis, you mentioned Starburst. You can't eat Starburst anymore, but can I suggest this substitute of Metamucil fiber chews? Just as good, and they keep your pipes flowing. What are you into? Skittles? Skittles aren't going to do you anymore, but how about these Centrum Daily Vitamins? They're like Skittles that you have to eat, or else you'll die, because you're 30 years old now, and your body just won't fix itself anymore the way it used to. You got to keep filling it with nutrients and supplements.
I'm sad now.
Well, that's...
I wish I hadn't gotten old.
I know.
There's nothing you can do about it.
Well, not now.
You have no idea what it's like being the youngest brother. It's like I have, like, two portraits of myself that a wizard painted, and they're both... I can watch them both getting older in front of me, and it's like, oh, I'm going to be that, and then I'm going to be that! It's really fucking terrifying.
Why does one of your portraits have a beard?
Because I have high hopes. One of these days, it's going to happen for me. I'm going to start producing.
Griff, do you have a Yahoo for us?
Sure. This Yahoo was sent in by Stephen Emmerich. Thanks, Stephen. It's by Yahoo Answers user Diddy, who asks, best Subway meat sandwich? I've been wanting to try something new. I love cold cuts and cheeses. Not a fan of turkey or chicken subs. Mm-hmm. What combination of meats and cheeses could I get that would be good? And on what type of bread?
Have you tried the pate with quail eggs?
Order that. See what kind of reaction you get.
Is there a way to... you know how like there's all those online publishing things going around of like how to hack Chipotle and like really, really sad ways of getting like some extra... guac, you know what I mean? Like, ask for a medium-sized tub of guac and then have them put it in a large container and you'll get 1.5 extra ounces of guac. I was like, wow, man. That's a lot of steps to go through for just a little bit of extra guac. Is there a way to hack Subway to get bigger, better, beefier, more robusto sandwiches?
Get the cookies on the sandwich.
You're saying when they ask, what topping?
You say, I want a large soda on there.
Yeah. Can I get a second?
Crunch up some of the Lay's potato chips onto the sandwich.
Can I get a second sandwich inside that sandwich? Please. And then you can keep doing that forever until the universe is all sandwiches.
What do you guys get at Subway? What's your Subway jam?
I haven't been to a Subway in so long because, do you know why? Because those places fucking stink. They
do. There's a combination gas station and Subway by my house.
Oh, my God.
Every time I walk into the gas station, it smells like sick. It smells like someone's vomit.
Yeah. Being Subway adjacent is terrible. I used to work at the country's best yogurt. And it really just, it wasn't a brand name for us. It fucking meant something. But that country's best yogurt was right next door to a Subway, and we would get a little bit of stink through the vents, and then you would go in on your lunch break, because there was nothing else to eat in a 3.5-mile radius, so you would go into the Subway, and I would get my, you know, whatever sandwich I could get for $2.50, because I was broke like a bad joke, and then you would come back and be like, oh, you went to Subway, I can tell, because you carried it with you, the smell of it. It gets in your fucking clothes.
You've got a pigpen-esque cloud of Subway stink.
It's like every Subway comes with its own like methane leak. Like that's part of the in order to franchise it out. It's like, let's see, you got a sandwich station, you got a hood to prevent people from like sweating and bleeding and snotting into the meats. That's great. And let's just go ahead and break this pipe. All right, you're good to go. Have fun. Sell lots of Sammies. See you in a year to make sure that leak's still going. Because, man, it's important.
That was actually one of my favorite things about the brief stint at Jimmy John's I worked, where...
Doesn't have a stink at Jimmy
John's. Doesn't have a stink. Also, doesn't, like, customize sandwiches. All they'll do is not put things on it. You know what I mean? So people come in like, could I get the number 12, but could I get that with... Nope.
It's really stinky.
No, I just want to add extra... Nope.
I remember you could get an extra slice of, like, mozzarella on your sandwich, and it was $1. Hey, guess what? Fuck you, Jimmy John's. I can go buy a whole package of it at Kroger's for $1. And then I can have, like, a full-blown cheese explosion on my sandwich.
I loved that for a while, and he might still do it. Jimmy John's whole thing was like, we're just sandwiches. We don't toast them. We don't do soup. We don't do specialty just sandwiches. It's like, so your whole sales pitch is, we don't do extra things.
We just do the one thing. And we do it okay. That'll be $14.
We do not go above and beyond by any means.
These are artisanal sandwiches prepared by expert chefs who've been apprenticing since they were 13. And also, they're 16 now. And they're so good at sandwiches. That'll be $14.59.
The problem I have with ordering at Subway and trying to get a perfect sandwich is that, and this should help this question asker, so I'm happy to pitch in here. I always feel awkward about ordering a topping, and then I get pretty specific. Like, when I'm watching them put the topping on, I feel like it's really, I feel like this urge to control the amount of that topping that I'm getting. Like, if I ask for green peppers, I don't want 50. And their inclination is usually to put 50 on there. Thank you. You're an artist. That's very generous.
Or mustard. They ejaculate that mustard onto your sandwich with the carelessness of, like, a lunatic watering their front yard. Like, it's a nightmare to watch.
That's why no matter what I get at Subway, I always say, and I'd like that with this and this and this, and I'd like to make it myself.
Can I get back there? And let me just... I know exactly how much lettuce I want.
Please do not touch it with your stupid service person hands.
I know shit at the sub. I don't want to put this particular Subway chain on blast, although if the quality control hasn't picked up since the time I worked at the country's best yogurt, they've definitely either closed or been closed by some sort of government agency. Somebody was cutting bread, cut clean into their finger, and then kept trying to do the sandwich. Hey, lady, you're not on fucking MasterChef? Like, you're not under a tight time constraint, someone else can go ahead and take the reins from you on this particular sandwich. Let me get that with oil and vinegar and salt and pepper, a little bit of lettuce, and, like, a half pint of your blood. You're not on fucking Chopped. Like, it's okay if this sandwich takes a while to make and if someone else does it.
I can happily confirm that Subway is still open, by the way, Griffin, so don't even worry about it.
Great. Well, I'm sure there's a lot of Subways adjacent to the country's best yogurts in the country.
Not so many anymore, I don't think.
This one was on 8th Street in Huntington, West Virginia. Have fun, guys.
This week's episode is brought to you by Subway. Subway.
Specifically, the one Subway on 8th Street in Huntington, West Virginia.
This is narrow casting at its best. This has actually just been my brother, me. It's like it's a podcast for advice and jokes and love and laughter and
is that the whole app? Where does the time go?
I know, right? It flies by when we're having
fun. It
feels
like it's been about 1 hour and 3 minutes for me, actually.
It's time for me to start sweeping up.
Sad things
back into the old trunks.
We need sad ending music like Dumbo Circus had.
Mm-hmm.
Get back in the wagon. We're saying goodbye. We've got to fly.
Thank you so much for reminding me of that show.
It's my
pleasure. I'm going to get off right now and watch it on Hulu Plus.
What about if it's like, show me that smile? It's like the Growing Pains theme, but like a funeral dirge, which is how I think that's how the show ended.
Remember, everybody, go to naturebox.com, use the coupon code MYBROTHER, and you're going to save 50% off.
How is that typed? Can you provide the exact typing of...
Okay, in our notes, it has a space. So try it with a space first. If that doesn't work,
capital M, capital B, with a space.
With a space. Try that first. If that doesn't work, just try it all together. Naturebox, go get you some. And let us know if you get any good snacks. I can personally recommend the banana bread granola. That's really good. Cindy likes the Santa Fe corn sticks.
If you get chili lime pistachios, if you could send some of those my way, because we did get a sample box, and Rachel did eat all of them before I had a chance to taste any.
Here's the good news. All the Naturebox snacks are really healthy and made from good stuff and no weird ingredients, no mystery ingredients. So she can eat as many as she wants. She's not going to grow a horn or anything.
No, I know, but
wants is all of them.
What's my favorite flavor combo? Chili and lime. What's my favorite nut? Pistachio. Yeah, I think I would have liked some of those.
Thank you to everybody tweeting about the show, helping us spread the word. We know we had some issues last week with the download. Totally, for once, not our fault. It was the fault of our friends at Libsyn.
Should be working now. Listen, they provide a great service. It's so rare that things go sideways. But I re-uploaded it a third time. So if you missed it last week, it should be working now, I hope. I want to thank John Roderick and the Long Winters for the use of our theme song, It's a Departure, off the album Putting the Days to Bed. Are they touring right now? Because I just read like a concert review of theirs.
They're definitely playing some shows. I don't know if it's like a full-blown tour, but yeah.
Man,
definitely playing out.
Damn it. I would kill to see that.
I know. So if you're the Long Winters and you're listening, come on by our house and do a show.
The Long Winters with the T.
What did Justin say?
I swear he said the Long Winders, which just sounds like a group of people that tell really long, boring stories.
Yeah. No, they have a name for that. It's called My Brother and Me. that's our show, folks. Thank you so much for listening. Griffin, do you have one last question?
I'm so upset about these pistachios. The bag wasn't open, and she was like, I thought it's because you didn't want them. And it was actually the opposite. I was so excited to eat them. I was like saving it for a weekend treat. This final Yahoo was sent in by Andrew Garcia. Thanks, Andrew. It's by Yahoo Answers user Richard, who asks, what determines a moose's coloration?
I'm Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
This has been My Brother. May get back in the wagon. We're saying goodbye. Kiss your dad square on the lips.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.
Justin, what are you doing?
Strapping a chicken to my arm. Heard there's some plague out west, so I just wanted to, kind of get out ahead of it.
Justin, if you'd ever listened to our medical history podcast, Sawbones, where we talk about everything from trepanation to bloodletting, you would know that is a ridiculous idea and it will never work.
I haven't caught it. Sawbones?
Yes, it's every Friday on the Maximum Fun Network, and we record it together.
You need a doctor or something?
Yes!